Chapter 5. Rachel. As I often did ever since the thief first started staying in the castle, I watched Rosmern and Kristoff stroll through the courtyard to the carriage that awaited them at the evergreen tree line. The two were heading to the West Village to visit Kristoff's family and inform Jasker about our trip south. A memory flitted through my head of the first time I stood here at my perch in the high window, when Rosmern had taken Chris to the East Village on what we now labeled their first date. As I watched Kristoff help his queen into the carriage, I remembered laughing at the timid way he had touched her on that first outing. And now, all of that awkwardness between the two was long gone. Over the past few months, I had watched my queen and best friend come to terms with her feelings for the human. Her obsession, which I thought it was at first, wholly changed into real feelings. I had initially thought that there was no way she would ever pick him for a mate. But now, as I saw them laugh and kiss, I realized how very wrong I had been. I had been wrong about so many things regarding Kristoff. To me, he had just been a silly thief from the West Side who somehow had managed to charm Rosmarin with his dreamy hazel eyes, disheveled brown hair, and cheeky grin. And then he had become something of an annoying conundrum as I found myself obsessed with him. I started stalking him through the halls, and then I even snuck into his room once to breathe in his scent of cinnamon and roses. And another time, I caught him and Sahar having sex in his room, which completely overloaded my senses. Even as I had questioned his trustworthiness, his intoxicating smell would wash over me unannounced, sending me into tailspins of confusing emotions. I saw his glowing face in my dreams, wearing that silly smirk he always gave me. I even had dreams of him and me, with our naked bodies intertwined. I think I understood those emotions now, or at least a little better. Maybe I was obsessed, but I was starting to think it was something more, and that kind of scared me. Their carriage disappeared beyond the trees, meaning I needed to get on with my tasks, so I tore myself away from the window and wandered through the festive halls out to the courtyard to catch my own ride to the eastern wall. Instead of a carriage, I opted for a horse, and as I was about to leave the stables, I heard a deep voice behind me. "Can I join you?" Onyx said. She had her horse already saddled and led it toward me by the reins. "What if I said no?" I teased the gray-skinned gargoyle. "I guess I shouldn't have asked," she chuckled, revealing her pearly white fangs. She climbed on her giant horse, the only one big enough for her, and we rode along the path toward the East Village and the wall. It was another beautiful day in Constanta. We were in the first months of summer, and since the celebrations were still in full swing, everything felt so happy. Even I felt happier, which shocked some people when they saw me. The ordinarily moody and dark vampire, laughing and smiling with my friends. But it was just another testament to our total victory. Everyone was feeling its effects, especially since the kingdom was now undergoing extensive rebuilding projects. The West Village had already been going through rebuilds after Kristoff and Rosmarin had made their first trip to start the recruitment process. After the zombies had broken through the wall and poured into the kingdom, both of the villages and other settlements needed extensive repairs, as did the wall. Onyx and I rode along in silence for a while, but eventually she couldn't keep her thoughts silent anymore. She cleared her throat a little awkwardly.
"So, you seem happier lately,"
Onyx posited to me. Her yellow eyes darted to me and then back to the road ahead. "What is that supposed to mean?" I shot at her as my defenses immediately caused me to lash out. Onyx stammered, not knowing what to say next. It was almost comical to see Onyx, the head gargoyle of Constanta's army, the one called the Doombringer, stutter in fear of my reaction. Then I felt bad that I had made my friend feel like she couldn't speak openly with me like friends should do. I'm sorry, Onyx. I didn't mean to be rude. You know how I am. I turned and gave her a big smile, and her features softened as relief washed over her. You know, I am happier. I mean, things are going really well, despite our trip coming up. Both Onyx and I agreed that we shouldn't be going to Nahuatl. Too much was at stake, and it seemed almost irresponsible for the entire council to leave, especially to help Sophia. But my friends always wanted to do what they thought was right. I couldn't fault them for that. I wish we weren't all going, I fretted. Rosmarin and Kristoff should stay at least. I mean, they are the king and queen. You know how they are, though, Onyx replied. If someone asks, they do everything in their power to help. I guess that's their blessing and their curse, I chuckled. The colorful buildings of the East Village rose up ahead. Normally, Onyx and I might decide to ride around the village to avoid as many people as possible. But today, we were in good moods and also wanted to check on the village repairs. The East Village had been hit the hardest since it was the first point of contact for the zombies after they managed to bust through the wall. They had filtered in and gone straight for the village, catching the people by surprise. In the days right after the battle, debris and bodies had littered the streets, a horrifying testament to the hell we had all gone through. Still, we laid our fallen to rest and began the cleanup to at least try to return to some kind of normalcy. There was a period of mourning for our lost friends following the eradication of the terrible demons. Of course, we would always feel the losses of those that died, but everyone was eager to get to work and start the reconstruction projects. The streets were bustling with people, and there was a cheerful buzz in the air. Even the presence of Onyx and me was a welcome sight. The villagers called up to us as we rode past their homes and reopened businesses. It looks like things are going well, I commented to Onyx as we neared the center of the village. Everyone is really banded together, she added. Constanta is going to be stronger than it ever was before. I marveled as I watched people push carts of building materials across the street. Onyx and I rode out of the East Village with more waves and smiles, and along the path to the East Wall that stretched out across the land ahead. Even from our distance, we could see the builders moving back and forth as they continued to patch up the breach in the wall, and as we approached, a vampire came forward to greet us. Rachel, Onyx, he called to us as we rode up to the wall. Hello, Vistag. How are you? I asked the vampire. He was buff, tall, and tan for a vampire, and he had pulled back his long, blonde hair. Vistag was one of the kingdom's head builders. While he usually took care of standard building projects, the compassionate vampire was the first to step up and get to work with rebuilding the wall. Even though our forces had scouted the surrounding lands for any signs of remaining zombies and found to be empty of the creatures, we all still felt the importance of repairing the wall as quickly as possible. The wall represented more than just our safety. It represented our togetherness as a kingdom, and having a gaping hole in it felt wrong. Vistag put down his tools and dusted his hands off on the worker's apron hanging down over him. I'm very well, thank you, Rachel. The rebuilding is going well, so I couldn't be happier. That's good to hear, I smiled. If there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to ask, Onyx added. We thanked him again and then rode a little way up and down the wall to see Vistag's handiwork, and when we felt satisfied, we traveled back to the castle. The trip only took a few hours, so when we settled our horses back in the stable, Onyx returned to the battlefield to continue with training. I made my way back into the castle to my room. Rosmarin and Kristoff were still out, and with Erwin gone, Onyx busy with the troops, and Sahara in her lab, I had the evening to myself. I went into my bathing room and turned on the simmering silver faucet to the tub, and dark blue, flower-scented bubbles began to fill the tub. I would have to remember to thank Sahara later. I stripped down and climbed into the warm bubbles and sank into the water until only my nose and head were exposed. And, as was normal for me now, I closed my eyes and saw Kristoff's glowing face before me.